Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Now, we all know that going sober isn't easy. It may not be your first attempt. You may find moments of frustration, but in those moments, that's your opportunity to challenge any thoughts or beliefs that you hold about alcohol and to turn your focus to the benefits you're going to gain. And so that's why I've spent time listening to every single episode and cherry-picking the best bits. So the episode today is with Jason. Now, Jason's life has changed immeasurably in sobriety. I mean, hasn't everybody's? But one of the areas that I really wanted to pick out and revisit was where he talked about his mental health and how alcohol had impacted that. And what's beautiful about the conversation with Jason is that even back when I spoke to him in 2023, he was overcoming so many things. He even did the High Rocks Challenge, which is just phenomenal. And he's taken back over this time control of his mental and physical health, which is absolutely amazing to witness. In the entire episode, we talk about feeling congruent, the ability to listen more in sobriety, and how he overcame depression. So what's the second thing on your list when it comes to benefits of being sober?
It has to be my health. And by health, it's my physical health. But with that, my mental health, my emotional health, because all these things are systematically tied in together. I've always wanted to be fitter and healthier. When I was young, I was fit and healthy and athletic. But then over the years, as I've got older, the drinking took charge and took hold. And my physical health, I was finding myself just sat around when I wasn't working. I was sat around extremely overweight. I mean, I got up to 24, 25 stone a few years ago. I was out of breath up and down the stairs. With that meant that I was struggling to work. I was having to take a lot of time off work because I was physically ill a lot of the time. That had a knock-on effect on my mental health, and I started to really struggle with severe anxiety and depression. And I just didn't like who I'd become. But instead of being able to deal with it and do something about it, I would just make the situation worse by drinking more. Little sort of story, I remember there was a time I had a job working in a primary school. I used to work as a teaching assistant. And I'd got to a point where my physical and mental health was so bad that I was getting in the car on a morning, pretending to go to work, and then driving and sitting in the car in the car park at the local sports centre around the corner until I knew that my wife and kids had all gone off to work and off to school. And then I was just coming home and sitting at home and crying. And I was signed off work for nearly a month with severe depression. Couldn't even tell my wife and tell my kids. I was too embarrassed to be able to tell them. I couldn't face telling them how bad I'd got. So the school knew, and they were trying to support me through it all. But I literally was getting up as if I was going to work every day, driving and sitting in a car park until I knew that she would have set off, because she was working at another school where our son went. So as soon as I knew that she'd gone, I'd give her 10 minutes in case she needed to come back. And then I would drive back and I would just sit in silence and just cry. I would then drive back out, because she always got back quicker than me because my school was further away. And I would sit back in the car park at the local sports centre, and I'd wait until I knew that she'd be back, until I knew that the timing was right. And then I'd come back in and I'd tell her the story of what my day had been like. And that went on for nearly a whole month, until my headmaster, who happened to be friends with her headmaster, threatened to tell him. And I knew that if he told him, he'd tell her. And but that's how bad things had got. And then on an evening, all I was doing as soon as I got in is I was just drinking, because I couldn't tell her. I didn't know how to tell her that I was that bad. So I would just say, I'll come and we'll go to the pub. Oh, I've had a good day. If you had a good day, come, we'll go to the pub. We'll go to the pub. That was just my, that was a coping mechanism. So I physically became more out of shape. My weight got worse. My weight got so bad. We went on a family trip to Disneyland in Paris. And I was carrying that much weight that I got severe pains in my feet, so bad and into my feet and my ankles, that I had to have the last day of the trip around Disneyland in Paris being pushed around by my kids in a wheelchair because I could no longer physically walk to go around the theme park for the day.
Oh,
I'd got
goodness.
that, I'd allowed myself to get that unwell physically and emotionally and mentally. I'd gone down that route. It was just absolutely heartbreaking. And I still see photographs come up in my memories on Facebook of me being pushed around by my own kids in Disney in Paris and being like 24, 25 stone. And I'm not sizist or anything at all. But for me, when I was younger, when I was at school, I was a cross-country runner. I ran for a local running club and raced every weekend and trained 4 days a week. So I'd gone from being really fit and healthy when I was younger and very competitive as well to all of a sudden being this middle-aged man who's pretending to go to work because he can't face work. He's lying to his family. He's kind of like in fetal position, just sat crying at home for 3-4 hours a day until it was time to pretend that I'd been at work all day. And then just eating, drinking. And it was just a vicious cycle going round. And with that came then avoiding things like paying the bills because I couldn't face paying the bills. Instead of paying the bills, I'd pay for us to go to the pub. Or I'd pay for us to go away somewhere because it was sort of like trying to mask what I was going through instead of actually turning around and saying, this is the reality of how unwell I am. And all I was doing was I thought that having a drink was helping me feel better, but it was just fueling it.
Yeah.
It was just making me worse and worse and worse. And the more I drank, the more overweight I became, the more I couldn't do stuff with the children, the more I couldn't be involved at home, the more I couldn't physically struggling to do my job. I was struggling to sing. I was having to cancel gigs all the time because I was getting so big that it was causing really severe reflux damage to my throat, damage to my voice. So all the things that I held really important to me were just slowly but surely all falling apart.
Yeah.
And I was fueling it. And it's only now that I can sit, look back and go, oh my God, I was just every single day I was drinking more. The more I drank, the worse I was becoming. But I thought the drink was what was fixing it.
Yeah, that's really not unusual. I think a lot of people do think that alcohol helps with anxiety or low mood or when you've had a tough day or when you're dealing with things or avoiding things. They feel like that is the answer.
And then flip side, if you've had a really, really good day, you go, oh, I'm going to celebrate with a drink. So you celebrate something really great happening in your life by banging a depressant into you and making you feel awful the next day. So that high that you've had, all of a sudden you've counteracted it and made yourself even worse again. So you haven't even been able to enjoy the highs.
Yeah.
What changed, though, when I stopped drinking, and I've done bits of training and I've done some competitions and some other stuff, and my weight still does fluctuate. I'm nowhere near as big as I used to be. At one point, I did a fitness program and I lost sort of like nearly 6 stone. And at the end of that, I ran 3 10Ks and a half marathon. And I did Total Warrior and I did a Tough Mudder that year. And I was physically in really good shape, but I was still drinking and I was still very severely emotionally depressed. These were little highs. They were things I was doing to try and give myself some purpose. It wasn't to test myself or anything. It was almost I've got nothing else to give. I just want people to go, oh, here's Jason. He ran a 10K. Here's Jason. He managed to do a half marathon. Well done. But I haven't got anything else emotionally to give to anybody because I was just overwhelmed. But then when I stopped drinking and I got back and started back at the gym again and I started to really enjoy it, I found that people actually liked me for just being me. And the longer I wasn't drinking, the more confident I was in myself. And I started to be able to come out of myself. And then my physical fitness started to get better. And as my physical fitness got better, I started to enjoy everything more. And I started to have this lease of life again. And then I thought, do you know what? I'm going to enter a CrossFit competition on my own. I tried doing a few others in the past but I'd always been partnered up with somebody else who was a lot better athlete than me. And usually I would end up collapsing halfway through a workout and the other person would have to do all the work just to get us through it. And I was awful. And I hadn't got the confidence to do it on my own. I actually entered one on my own. And I set myself a goal of not coming last. I knew who else was in and I knew there were people in that I was physically incapable of beating. But I knew there was at least one person, if not two people there, that I could beat in at least one or two of the events and not come last in the competition. And I did it.
Wow.
And I loved it. And I got such a huge, huge buzz from it. I didn't, nowhere near podium, but I didn't come last. And it just felt good because I wasn't relying on anyone else to drag me through it. It was just me on my own against me. And it felt so, so good. So I finished that event and I thought, I want to really push myself with something now, but something again where it's me on my own. And there's not a lot of competitions or events where the strength work as well as cardio, there's not many events that you can do. There was a lot of people and a lot of buzz in our gym, people going about, oh, so-and-so's entered HYROX, so-and-so's entered HYROX. And I'd never heard of HYROX. So I went on and Googled it. And I looked at it and nearly everybody else in the gym was entering it, but they were all entering it in pairs. And HYROX in pairs and HYROX in individual is exactly the same event. Essentially, HYROX is an 8 kilometer race. But in between each kilometer that you run, you have a physical workout that you have to do in between each one. So it could be a 1 kilometer ski on a ski erg. It could be a 152 kilo sled push. It could be a big heavy kettlebell, dumbbell, farmer's carry for 150 meters. All these things that are just physically really, really tough and demanding. And one event in between each kilometer. And the idea is to do all 8 kilometers, all 8 events, one after the other, as fast as you possibly can. If you enter it as a pairs, yes, you all got to run together, but you get to share the workload and share the bit in between. I foolishly decided to enter it at 19 stone and enter it as an individual. So I've got all the 8 kilometers. I've got to do every single rep, every single weight, every single movement. And if I got tired, I couldn't just hand something over and say, can you just take over and do a couple of these reps just while I get my breath back? Or because I'm physically struggling, or if I'm sore or hurting, I knew I had to push myself through it all the way through. So I entered without telling anybody and just went and paid. So I literally was sat, we had a coffee shop in the gym and people were on about it. So while no one was looking, I went online before I had a chance to think about it or second guess it. I just went on, entered, done. And then I waited and got home and said, oh, by the way, I've entered HYROX. I thought it gives me something. I wanted to really test myself. And this was in June, July of 2022. The HYROX had entered was for the 29th of January in this year, 2023, which was the weekend, my last weekend of my 50th year. Subconsciously, I'm thinking, at the age of 50, I've gone sober. I've done my first individual CrossFit competition and not come last. I wanted to finish the year off on my last weekend of my 50th year doing something really, really difficult. So that's essentially what I did. And then I entered that on the Monday. And then whilst training the following Sunday, injured myself during a training workout and ruptured my knee ligaments in my right knee. And was out of action. I couldn't walk for a week and a half. I couldn't work properly for nearly 3 weeks. I was in and out of hospital for physio. I've had to have it x-rayed, have it scanned. So all this time is going on and I couldn't train and it started to make me feel a little bit unwell, worrying about it. And then it got to January and I still haven't trained properly. I've done little bits here and there, but every time I tried to really push myself, it would flare up again and it would get sore. And it got to the 1st of January and I thought, right, what do I do? Do I cancel? Realistically, if I try and do HYROX in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time, I might end up on a stretcher and being rushed off by an ambulance and I could really injure myself. Or I spend the next 3-4 weeks and I just work and I work and I work and I turn up and I don't care about how fast I do it. I don't care about anything other than crossing the start line and crossing the finish line, regardless of how long it takes. And to put in perspective, the average High Rocks time for the open division, but I was in one of the oldest age groups, but the average time for people, I think for male average, I think for my age group, is about an hour and 25 for an individual to complete it in. 2 hours and 48 minutes later, I crossed that finish line, having hobbled round each kilometre but never stopped running. It was the slowest run you've ever seen. Brilliant. But complete strangers who've never seen me before started to cheer me on, and groups of people from other gyms from all over the country, all recognising me and seeing me in so much pain, dragging myself around every single bit of the event, cheering, screaming for me, shouting, "What's your name?" I'm saying, "It's Jason." So the next time I'm coming around, they're all chatting, "Jason, Jason," people that I've never met before. Almost was on my hands and knees crossing the finish line. I was in absolute tears. It was the most horrific and grueling, painful thing that I've ever, ever, ever physically done. It was awful. But people were just cheering and cheering and cheering. And the cheer from the whole crowd when I went over the finish line was amazing.
I have seen the photo of you crossing the finish line. It is amazing.
And just, my eyes are just glazed over, and I've no idea where I am. I genuinely haven't got a clue where I was. And I came away from it thinking, I'm so glad I've done that. And I was so proud of myself. And then for some strange and bizarre reason, I've entered to do it again. Just before lockdown, I went to the Excel Arena in London to watch the European qualifiers for the CrossFit Games. Essentially, he's the greatest male CrossFit athlete of all time, was competing that weekend. And he is my absolute hero. I worship him. Like, you would not believe, the guy is just a machine. And I remember being in the stands, cheering him on and going, one day when I'm like in my early 50s, I want to be on that competition floor in this venue competing as an individual athlete. It's the same venue, it's the same room, it's the same floor. So on the 25th of November, I'll be doing my next High Rocks in the exact same place that my all-time biggest sporting hero ever competed and won the semi-finals. So I've sort of come the full circle and I'm actually going to do it. And I'm now back training and I'm on a training plan and I've got just less than 3 months. Last time I had 3.5 weeks. This time I've got just less than 3 months. And I will be on that floor and I will complete it. But having the confidence to go back and do it again, knowing how horrible it was, knowing how much it hurt, but knowing that I've got it inside me to actually put the work in and to turn up and put myself through that mental test. Because it is physically, it's horrendous, but it's what's going through your head while you're doing it, and you can't escape it. You're there on the floor, and all you want to do is just cry and go home. But you've told yourself that you're crossing that finish line, and you're crossing that finish line. And it was nice, because when I did it in January, I did not do it for anyone else. Some of the people that knew me were all saying, just quit, you're in too much pain, quit. And I'm thinking, no, that's not what I'm going to do. This is for me. If I can stop drinking, if I can go a whole year sober, I can get across this finish line. Don't care how long it takes. And that's now my mindset for this next one. I want to do better, but I'm not competing with anyone other than myself and what's going on in my head. I'm doing it just for me. I want to feel better, feel proud of what I can do. And there's no point in being sober and then sitting around and not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
It's not about quitting the alcohol. It's about actually living a better life and living a more fulfilling life.
The original episode was aired on the 19th of September, 2023. If you want to scroll back through your podcast feed to listen to the whole thing. If you head to louisaevans.com, you'll find lots of useful resources, including my Sober Resilience course. If you use code RESILIENCE544, you can get a 30% discount. And you'll find a whole host of self-hypnosis downloads to help you reprogram that subconscious and change some of those deep-rooted beliefs about alcohol, about sobriety, and about so many other subjects, from weight loss, confidence, exercise. There's plenty to choose from. You can buy one, get one free using the code SOBERREBEL, all one word. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests over this last couple of years for their openness and honesty. And the podcast will be back in its regular fortnightly slot very shortly. I'm currently recording some amazing episodes for you. I hope you have a great day.